And now for our story. When this story closed, we discovered many interesting and even terrifying things. We know that Max will have to face a trial, the results of which are still open to conjecture. We know that John Davis is against Max and is doing everything in his power to see that Max gets the maximum penalty for the killing of Benjamin Carter, the electric chair. Fortunately for Max, he has friends, and he has Mary, and they're doing their best to see that he gets a fair trial. John Power had made a trip to Chicago to bring back a lawyer to defend Max, and he has been fortunate in securing the services of Peter Clinton, one of the best criminal lawyers in the country. Clinton has admitted to Mary that the case is not going to be an easy one to fight because of the evil shadows cast by Max's early life, but he is going to do his best to clear Max, and Clinton's best is well worth waiting for. Today, as our scene opens, John Fowler and Peter Clinton have just entered Max's cell.
Well, Max, I hope you don't mind, but I've brought a man I want you to meet.
No, I don't know who you said.
Max, I want you to meet Mr. Clinton. Mr. Clinton, Mr. Tilly.
How do you do?
Hi. Have a seat, gents, if you don't mind sitting on a prison cot. Made the first time I sat on him, but I guess this time the last.
Oh, now, Max, you mustn't get morose. Cheer up, boy. I will have you out of here in no time.
Yes, Mr. Tilly, the worst thing you can do is lose your nerve. I've seen plenty of them do that, and when they did, they were gone. You've got to hold on to life, the things it means to you. Your wife, your adopted children, your friends.
Hey, how is this guy, Fowler? Talks like a medical. Hey, look here, Mr. Clinton, I ain't sick,
you. Perhaps you are, Mr. Tilly. Huh? Yours is probably not a physical sickness.
That's what Mr. Clinton is saying.
Yeah, I know what he's trying to say.
No, we can't start off this way. We've got to be friends.
And listen, you. Just because I'm behind this cage don't mean that I can't still pick my own friends, see? I always have and I always will. And you can make up your mind to that.
Why, what's come over you, Max? Peter Clinton is a friend of mine. He's come all the way from Chicago to help you.
Well, I don't need any help.
I'm afraid I must contradict you, Mr. Tilly.
Huh?
You do need help. You need it badly. I've come prepared to offer you that help.
Well, who are you, anyway?
Peter Clinton is one of the best defense lawyers in the country, and one of the strictest.
Hey, look, Tom, I didn't ask you to get me a mouthpiece, and I don't want one.
But, Max...
Well, thanks a lot for your thinking about me and all that, but I don't want no mouthpiece.
What do you intend to do? You're going to need a lawyer, and you're going to need one very soon. I understand the state intends to push this case through just as fast as possible.
Well, I'm going to be my own mouthpiece. I'm going to fight my own fight.
Max, that's impossible. You can't do that.
Well, other guys have done it. So can I.
Max, do you realize what you're doing?
Doing?
You're practically signing your own death warrant. Why, what chance do you think you'll have against a good prosecuting attorney? What do you know about legal technicality?
I tell you, I'm going to fight my own
Max, you can't do this, and I won't let you. Tell him he can't, Mr. Clinton.
I'm afraid, John, that Mr. Tilly is within his legal rights. He may fight his own case if he so desires. There's good precedent for his action.
But what chance would he have of winning it?
Offhand, I should say about one chance in a million.
Well, that's good enough for me.
Oh, Max, you can't do it, and I won't let you, I tell you. None of your friends will let you. There's too much at stake. If it were just a matter of a civil suit involving money or property, I'd say it was yours, and you could do with it as you please. But you realize, man, your life is at stake.
Well, it's my life.
I'm sorry, but I'll have to contradict you again, Mr. Tilly.
Huh?
It's not only your life. It's the life of your wife, your children, the happiness of your friends that are really on fire. A foolish move from you now at this time would be the deciding weight in the balance that might spell disaster to all you love and to all who love you. Your wife and I had a talk before I came to see you. I could see that she's not too well. Do you realize what another shock might do to her? Are you prepared to take that chance?
You may not care about yourself, Max, but think of Mary.
Yeah, you guys are right. What was I thinking of? But sure, you're right. I don't care about myself, but I got to think of Mary. She's the one who's really taken it on the chin for me. And this isn't the first time, either.
Good. May I assume that you are engaging me as your counsel?
What?
Is it all right for Mr. Clinton to go ahead for you?
Oh, sure, if he wants to. But before we start, Mr. Clinton, I want you to understand that I ain't got no money to pay you. The way things look for me right now, with everything I've ever had and gone haywire, why, I don't know if I'll ever have the money to pay.
Well, suppose you let me worry about that, too.
Yeah. If you're going to worry for me, well, you might as well go whole hog.
Well, Peter, you won't have to worry about money. I'll assume responsibility for everything.
My John, you amaze me. You never have money for important things, but if some kind of foolishness comes up, why, I always manage to dig up the cash.
Max, to help you is not foolishness.
Hi, you old typhoid. So you're finally giving out, huh?
Well, now that the financial end is settled, suppose we get down to the serious matter of helping Mr. Telliger. Get out of this cell and back to his wife.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. There's something there. Now, if you guys are going to work for me, I can't go around calling you Mr. This and Mr. That. My name's Max. Father's name is John.
Okay, Max and John, you guys can call me Pete.
Okay, Pete, well, what do you want to know?
Well, Mr. Davis, now that I'm here, I want to get to work immediately. I don't want to waste any time.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way about it, Hinkler. When I talked to the governor, I asked him to send me a live wire, a man that would give us action and give it to us quickly.
Well, I'm flattered by the governor's confidence in me. There's more than one reason why I wanted to take this trial.
Well, yes?
Mr. Davis, things in this state have been running very loosely for a long time. There's been too much graft, too much politics in everything. There's been too much money lost in lengthy, drawn-out trials, and too little accomplished.
What do you mean?
I mean that of the 7 cases of homicide tried in our courts this year, there have been no convictions, and the cases have run for months, causing the burden and cost of these trials to fall upon the shoulders of the taxpayers.
Well, what can one do?
I can tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make this the fastest case in the history of the state. I'm going to have this man, Tilly, tried and convicted so fast it will make his head swim. I'm going to set up a record of swift justice for this or any other state to shoot at.
Now, I'm with you wholeheartedly. You're right. Absolutely right. A man like Max Tilly should never have been permitted to associate with civilized society. He's a menace.
Yes. I understand he's got quite a criminal record behind him.
Oh, a good long one.
Well, that's something to start with. I don't think I'm going to have too much trouble with this case.
No, I don't think you will. However, let's not be too sure of ourselves. Max Kelly has several good and influential friends, and they do a great deal for him.
Well, I was given to understand that the town's against him.
Yes, that's right. But that, Mr. Hinkler, didn't happen by itself.
What do you mean?
Well, I was once told that mouth-to-mouth advertising was the most effective kind of advertising. I have, Mr. Hinkler, been the instigator of a little campaign.
You mean that you...
Yes, Mr. Hinkler, now you know. I don't like Max Tilly. In fact, I might almost go as far as to say, I hate him. And I want him out of the way.
Well, if you think I'm going to be a party to any private feud between you and this man Tilly, you're greatly mistaken.
Now, Hinkler, you're a young man. You've still got a lot to learn. Max Tilly is bad. He's got people who like him, yes, even love him. He's got personality, this man, Billy. But as I said, he's bad. This isn't the first time he's broken the law, and it won't be the last.
But a personal...
Now, wait a minute. This isn't the first time he's committed a murder. But we've got to make it the last.
What right have you to start a personal campaign against him? That's the law's job, the prosecution of a murderer.
Oh, Mr. Hinkler, you're a young man. A very young man for so important a job. But I've been following your career for some time, and I'm interested in helping you.
Before you go any further, Mr. Davis, I want you to know that this case is going to be fought on the evidence, and strictly upon the evidence. There's not going to be any underhanded dealing from the bottom of the deck. Max Tilly is going to have a fair trial, and a fast one.
Hinkler, you prove your youth by the rapidity with which you jump to conclusions. Of course Tilly will have a fair trial. Surely, I know that. But I also know that you're a very ambitious young man. And if you saw a possibility of a shortcut to your ambition, you wouldn't be against taking it, would you?
I don't think I understand you.
And I think you do. Now, let me put it this way. Max Tilly, as we said, is definitely antisocial. This town, in fact, this country, would be better off without him. Now, is that clear?
Transparently.
Good. All right, I don't like the man personally. He's interfered with me and my interests.
But that has nothing to do with his trial. Your personal feelings in the matter will not influence me.
Spoken like a true statesman. You have a great career in front of you, Hinkler. You have a genius for something.
If you're trying to be sarcastic...
Oh, was I? Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. But perhaps I'm not putting this idea to you in the proper form. Now, consider this. Max Tilly is only the first big stepping stone to, well, shall we say, the governorship of the state. Is that interesting? Does that strike a responsive chord in your heart?
I should like to be governor.
Yes, it's a nice job. And from governor, well, who knows where you'd go?
You're a very oily individual, Davis.
Ah, but a very necessary one to you, Hinkler. I can help you. I have political power in this state. Almost enough to do anything for you. I can do something for you, but I need your help.
What help do you need?
Well, you've got a big job to do here. No little murder case will make you the name you need. You've got to convict Max Tilly of murder in the first degree.
The chair?
Oh, of course. Why, it's not big enough to really convict him.
The man's confession clearly stated that he killed Carter in self-defense.
What's that got to do with it?
You think he's lying?
Knowing Tilly as I do, I'm sure he's lying. You've got no ordinary crook to deal with, Hinkler. He's a very clever, very cunning individual.
And I've got to get to work on this right away. I'm having records of his past sent down from the Capitol. They should be here this evening.
Well, the case is in the hands of the grand jury right now. Let's push it to trial as soon as we can.
Good. I'll try and get it to trial by Thursday. I think I can line up all my witnesses by that time.
I don't think you're going to have any trouble.
Well, I've got to be getting back to my hotel. I've got a lot of things I've got to attend to.
Yes, yes. Well, I'll see you this night, and we can go over this whole thing more thoroughly. Good day, Mr. Hinkler.
Good day.
Well, Mr. Tilly, I think I've got you right where I want you, at last.
What has John Davis got up his sleeve? Why is he trying so hard to get rid of Max? We knew that Max and he didn't get along, that they came to blows about the Sanders Holding Company. But why should Davis want to have Max put away?